Then the monster began to whistle. It was a happy tune, lighthearted, something like you might whistle while you were polishing the bleached skull of your latest victim.
"I'm not stalking anyone or anything," the monster said, much louder than would have been required had he been talking to himself. "Nope, not me. Just standing here for a second. Oh, well, no one is here. I guess I'll be on my way."
He began to whistle again, and we could hear footsteps getting quieter along with the whistling. They weren't moving away. They were just getting quieter. Joy and I looked out the window to see the huge beast doing an exaggerated pantomime of walking just as his whistle fizzled.
"What?" I shouted down, angry now. "Did you think we wouldn't look?"
The monster shrugged.
"It was worth a try. I figured I wasn't dealing with a genius when you opened the door in the first place."
"What did he say? What did he say?"
Joy chanted behind me.
"He said he doesn't think you're very smart."
"Tell him that I'm not the one who has spent all these years locked in the dark playing with myself."
I pulled back from the window and looked at Joy. "Do you think he could fit through this window?" She eyed the window.
"Yes."
"Then I'm not going to tell him. It might make him angry." Joy pushed me aside, stepped up on the windowsill, turned around and faced me, then pulled up her robe and peed backward out the window. Her balance was amazing. From the growling below, I gathered that her accuracy wasn't bad either. She finished and jumped down. I looked out the window at the monster, who was shaking urine from its ears like a wet dog.
"Sorry," I said. "Language problem. I didn't know how to translate."
The monster growled, and the muscles in its shoulders tensed beneath the scales. Then it let loose with a punch that sent its fist completely through the iron skin of the door.
"Run!"
Joy said.
"Where?"
"The passage to the cliff."
"You cut the ladder."
"Just run!"
She pulled me along behind her, guiding us through the dark as she had done before.
"Duck!"
she shouted, just a second after I realized that we'd enter the smaller passageway by using the sensitive stone ceiling sensing nerves in my forehead. We made it halfway down the passageway to the cliff when I heard the monster hit and curse. There was a pause, then a horrible grinding noise, so intense that we had to shield our ears from the assault. Then came the smell of burning flesh. Dawn broke just as Joshua and Balthazar rode into the canyon entrance of the fortress.
"How about now?" Joshua asked. "Do you feel the demon now?"
Balthazar shook his head balefully.
"We're too late."
He pointed to where the great round door had once stood. Now it was a pile of bent and broken pieces hanging on what was left of the huge hinges.
"What in the name of Satan have you done?" Joshua said. He jumped off his horse and ran into the fortress, leaving the old man to follow as best he could.
The noise in the narrow passageway was so intense that I cut pieces of cloth from my sleeves with Joy's dagger and stuffed them in our ears. Then I lit one of the fire sticks to see what the monster was doing. Joy and I stood there, gape-jawed, watching as the beast worried away at the stone of the passage, his claws moving in a blur of speed, throwing smoke and dust and stone shards into the air as he went, his scales burning from the friction and growing back as fast as they burned away. He hadn't come far, perhaps 5 feet toward us, but eventually he would widen the passage enough and pull us out like a badger digging termites out of the nest. I could see now how the fortress had been built without tool marks. The creature moved so quickly, literally wearing away the walls with his claws and scales, that the stone was polished as it was cut. We had already made 2 ascents up what was left of the ladder to the top of the plateau, only to have the monster come around and chase us back down it before we could get to the road down. The second time he pulled the ladder up, then returned to the interior of the fortress to resume his hellish digging.
"I'll jump before I let that thing get me," I said to Joy.
She looked over the edge of the cliff into the endless darkness below.
"You do that," she said. "Let me know how it goes."
"I will, but first I'll pray."
And I did. I prayed so hard that beads of sweat popped out of my forehead and ran over my tightly closed eyes. I prayed so hard that even the constant screeching of the monster's scales against the stone was drowned out. For a moment there, I was sure that it was just me and God. As was his habit with me, God remained quiet, and I suddenly realized how frustrated Joshua must have been, asking always for a path to follow, a course of action, and being answered by nothing but silence. When I opened my eyes again, dawn had broken over the cliff, and light was streaming into the passageway. By full daylight, the demon was even scarier. There was blood and gore all over him from the massacre of the girls, and even as he relentlessly wore away at the stone, flies buzzed around him. But as each tried to light on him, it died instantly and fell to the floor. The stench of rotting flesh and burning scales was almost overwhelming, and that alone nearly sent me over the side of the cliff. The beast was only 3 or 4 cubits out of reach from us, and every few minutes he would rear back, then throw his claw forward to try to grab at us. Joy and I huddled on the landing over the cliff face, looking for any purchase, any handhold that would get us away from the beast, up, down, or sideways across the cliff face. The fear of heights had suddenly become very minor.